The reading this morning is a poem by David White, Where Many Rivers Meet. All the water below me came from above. All the clouds living in the mountain gave it to the rivers, who gave it to the sea, which was their dying. And so I float on cloud, become water. Central sea surrounded by white mountains. The water salt, once fresh. Cloud fall and stream rush. Tree root and tide bank. Leading to the river's mouths, and the mouths of the rivers sing into the sea. The stories buried in the mountains give out into the sea, and the sea remembers and sings back from the depths where nothing is forgotten. On a crisp blue sky day in early December, I walk up the hill once again. I stop and turn to look at the sleeping giant, as I always do here, for this is the best view that you can get of that mountain, part of a ridge that runs through my hometown of Hamden down to Long Island Sound. I think of the Quinnipiac tribe who told of the giant stone spirit, the sleeping giant buried beneath. I walk further up the hill. Where is it, I wonder? Walking and looking, I can't believe that I don't know exactly where it is. I hear my father laughing, which makes me smile. Finally, it's in front of me, along the rows of stones set on the hillside facing the sleeping giant, the Visal Cemetery plot. Perhaps growing up in the land of the sleeping giant gave me a keen appreciation for stories buried, which is how I think of people who have died. After my father died, I started taking my mother to the cemetery each December 7th to place a Christmas wreath on the plot where my grandparents, father, aunts, uncles, and brother are buried. On December 7th, not because anyone in my family died at Pearl Harbor, but because of the story my parents told over and over of where they were on December 7th, 1941, when they heard of the attack. They were listening to the radio in my grandmother's basement while making Christmas wreaths. So now I walk up the hill and lay a Christmas wreath on the family plot every December 7th. This private ritual marks the beginning of the holiday season for me. It's a way I honor my kin and our stories. Family stories are the primary way my family memorializes loved ones. We love to tell those stories over and over again. But in preparing for today's service, I realized that we also create rituals at the drop of a hat. Every family gathering, we bring family members who've died around the table with us by lighting a candle in their honor and speaking their names. Holidays are rituals are brought out year after year, some meticulously reenacted, others adapted to our changing lives. And I remember my ancestors each All Souls Day service by wearing my Celtic design stole. How did you learn to honor your kin? Do you continue those ways? Have you adapted them? Or have you lost them? And when I say kin, I do not mean just family members, but adopted family, friends, neighbors, those who shaped and inspired us. Do you remember loved ones through private rituals on their birthday, anniversary, or a day connected to a family story, perhaps by displaying their photo or a memento that keeps them with you throughout the day. Rituals provide dedicated time and space for us to stop and reflect on transitions through our ever-changing lives. They transmit the known and familiar through ceremonies, object, and words passed down from generation to generation, while magically transforming feelings and relationships. In communal rituals, we come together to acknowledge and share the joy and pain of life. We ritualize All Souls Day with readings, songs, blessings, music, lighting of candles, tolling of the bell, and rosemary plants used for remembrance of the dead since ancient times. All these elements come together to provide an anchor point to help us to go forward into the unknown, into the future. But rituals are often neglected in our multicultural, fast-changing, multi-faith society. To some, rituals seem cumbersome, divisive, rigid, or meaningless. Opting out of ritual deprives us of the enriching role they can play in our lives. By reinvigorating all old customs and creating new ones, we strengthen our relationship and enhance the meaning of our lives. At times of death and grief, the task of planning a memorial service often falls to survivors who are unprepared, especially if they are of a different religious tradition or are alienated from their families. Nevertheless, those who mourn need to give voice to their sorrow. The grief that does not speak remains unresolved. To help you communicate your wishes for your memorial service to your family and to your ministers, First Parish has a personal information record, which you can complete and return to us. Let me know if you need any help with it. There are copies on the way out today at the back of the sanctuary and also by the side door. Believe me, family members and your ministers are grateful to know your wishes when it is time for your memorial service. Not only as a minister, but as a person, I hate to hear people say that they want nothing, no ceremony when they die. I feel it's important to embrace possibilities for healing and for hope. Some of us have to create our own rituals to say goodbye when we are unable to attend ceremonies or if they lack meaning to us. This has happened to me several times. I've had to find ways by myself or with a few friends or family members to acknowledge the death, to give sorrow words, and to invite a holy space in which to say goodbye. We have heard of the communion of saints, but what we yearn for is to have our own particular saints gathered with us. Surely among the richest of these experiences are those times when, with nostalgia and often with affectionate laughter, we share with others our memories. I invite you to share a story of a loved one sometime today in honor of All Souls Day. We leave those experiences warmed and strengthened. When the stories buried in the mountains give out into the sea, and the sea remembers and sings back from the depths, where nothing is forgotten. May we remember them well.